And finally, in reviewing the facts presented, the evidence, the law, the history, we determined under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment that Mr. Trump engaged in insurrection and therefore was disqualified.
Oh, the parade of many tyrants continues in our country. It's the latest on Democrats destroying democracy in our country. Welcome to The Dana Show, my friend. I'm Sergio Sanchez, reporting to you today from The Dana Show Southern Command in South Texas, the blessed soil, USA, USA, and it's Texas. So, yeah, that's the Secretary of State in charge of elections. The Secretaries of State are the ones in charge of elections in pretty much all states. In the state of Maine, right as we were closing yesterday's program, started seeing these little headlines pop up from the state of Maine that the Secretary of State, Shanna Bellows, said that under the 14th Amendment, as they've been doing all sorts of legal and opinion contortions of late, thanks to the state of Colorado and their high court, saying, yeah, Donald Trump is guilty of participating, initiating in an insurrection. And they went digging deep into that Civil War law, try to make sure that Donald Trump is not on the ballot. And that's why they want to keep him off the ballot. But, you know, and as we were all introduced about a week or so ago to the efforts in Colorado, to this, you know, they took all the dust off of this law to try to attack Donald Trump. Because, man, one pandemic that is sweeping across the country like fire right now and will continue to sweep across America unless the Supreme Court says something and puts the kibosh, puts the stop to all this. You're going to see a lot of Democrat Party, many tyrants, Secretary of States, judges, anybody who get in front of Donald Trump from being on any ballot, primary or maybe even the general election. And of course, we still have to deal with all the court cases that have been, all these bogus court cases that have been brought against former President Donald Trump. The objective here is simply to destroy him. Where's the party? Every time I see one of these attacks, where are you, Ronald McDonald, Ronna McDaniel? Where's the party on this? Where are the candidates? Governor Ron DeSantis, I love you. I mean, you've done a great job with the state of Florida. Where are you? And yelling at the top of your lungs of this banana republic tactic by the Democrat establishment, by little Democrat tyrants, secretaries of state and judges. They're twisting, they're perverting law. They're doing whatever they can to keep Donald Trump the obvious front runner. And let's don't kid yourself. I know you guys got donors who filled your pockets to continue running. Nikki Haley had her own troubles yesterday, so she was trying to dodge her own bullets she shot into the air were coming back and landing on her because she couldn't, politically speaking, she couldn't properly negotiate a plant at a Q&A session. In case you didn't hear, somebody asked her, hey, what was the cause of the Civil War, Nikki Haley? And she, like, pregnant pause and thought about it. And I mean, the entire Jeopardy theme could have played. Da, 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 da. The whole thing could have played. And then she finally said, oh, you're not going to make it easy on me. Just say the S word, slavery. Oh, she was dodging all sorts of bullets. That's her problem. But we need leadership in the party. You know, one thing that the Democrats, I salute the Democrats because, like communists, a unified party, a one party mindset, boy, these communists, they lock arms. And they goose-step, and they circle the wagons and defending their leaders or their people. You will hardly ever see a Democrat cannibalizing another Democrat unless it's for their own political benefit because, you know, getting rid of this candidate or getting rid of this ex-politician would make things better for the party. Let's just throw all these political piranhas at let's say, I don't know how they're going to do in 2024, but you know, let's get rid of Joe Biden somehow. Let's continue to somehow pretend that we support the investigation into all his family's corruption, 20-some-odd million dollars from American enemies that enrich the entire Biden family. Let's kind of support that. Let's get rid of him and then lift up Governor Good-Haired Newsom, something like that. Unless it benefits them, they won't be searching for truth or for justice. Right now, this pandemic that's sweeping America, this Trump derangement syndrome, I hope it's not going to get worse, but I think it is. Unless, of course, somehow the high court does something to stop all this craziness. That Colorado case, which, by the way, towards the end of the program, and like just ahead of the print deadline, I think, in Colorado, because if I remember correctly, the reason everybody was mentioning print, because Colorado's part of the March primary, all these states in March primary. The Secretary of State in Colorado, I'm saying that Donald Trump will be on the 2024 Colorado primary ballot because the Republicans filed an appeal to the Supreme Court. So pending the result of that appeal, then I don't know how they would do it. Go in there with magic ink and erase all his names. I don't know, maybe reprint the ballots. That's their problem. So Donald Trump's name will be on the Colorado ballot. And I was reading that towards the end of yesterday. Here we had from the state of Maine, Shana Bellows, the person in charge, and said, looked at all the evidence, like a little mini judge, a mini tyrant, illegally using her Democrat Party bias, her willfully uninformed opinion, to execute an illegal anti-democratic move. I mean, this is like banana republic stuff. In smaller Latin American countries or African countries, when you can't beat the opposition at the polls, when the opposition is too strong, even in uber-rich trillionaire economies like Russia, you know, Vladimir Putin hangs on to power by getting rid of his. I mean, he does things a bit more violent and a bit more bloody. But get rid of your opposition through the courts or some type of legal maneuver or machination. It's cut seven, Steve-O. Shana Bellows, she's convinced. In fact, what Donald Trump was part of was an insurrection. It's cut seven, Steve.
I reviewed Section 3 of the 14th Amendment very carefully and determined that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment does not say conviction. It says engage. And let's go back and keep in mind that the events of January 6, 2021 were unprecedented and tragic. This was an attack not only on the Capitol and the government officials, the former vice president, members of Congress, but an attack on the rule of law. And the weight of evidence that I reviewed indicated that it was, in fact, an insurrection.
Well, that's the most stupid insurrection I ever saw. Nobody carried a gun. Nobody attacked the Capitol, shot up the police, and took over Congress and demanded a halt to the count to everything. A bunch of stupid people showing up in places that they shouldn't have been. It was a dumb riot of people who did not listen to Donald Trump to protest peacefully because all the suspicions related to the COVID vote of 2020. We could go on and on this stupid riot. But, oh, no, the Democrats will use it all year long. And Democrat strongholds, the Secretary of State's office, they will continue to use it all year long to their benefit and try to put as many obstacles and hurdles in front of Donald Trump. I'm going to share with you a conversation with Byron Henry, constitutional pro, a friend of ours we speak with every now and then when it comes to constitutional issues. So I'll share that conversation later this hour on the program. Let's see what else we have here. Democrat city leaders, and you know who they are, whether it's New York or Denver or Chicago, they're trying to limit migrant buses. Of course, Governor Greg Abbott, successfully for almost 2 years now, has been sending these illegal immigrants, these so-called asylum seekers, to Democrat cities that have labeled themselves sanctuary cities for the longest time. And now the mayors of New York, Denver, Chicago, they want to put into place some new measures, some new policies to try to reduce the flow, limit hours of operation for these charter buses to deliver the illegal immigrants to those communities, and also try to fine these companies for bringing in illegal immigrants. Man, I see all sorts of court battles left and right. I think the state of Texas might need to get involved as far as court battles, but I think the easy fix to this, when I was reading this yesterday, easy fix is what happens on planes. If you don't know this already, folks who cross the border illegally are processed by Border Patrol, eventually get a bowl of soup from a local charity, and or maybe able to take a shower thanks to Catholic charities or other non-government organizations. When you hear the term NGO, non-government organizations, so all these charities, a lot of these charities, making I mean, I don't. It is what it is. Whether it's the Office of Refugee Resettlement, the ORR, that takes in, houses, shelters, feeds, protects children sent on their own until they find next of kin or blood kin. They work that process. The ORR, that's millions and millions of dollars in contract money for some of these organizations. And man, you talk about walls working, their walls work. You really can't get in there to snoop around, to investigate. Press can't get in there to snoop around, to ask questions, because it's kids. Because the ORR contractors taking care of the underage, you know, sent here on their own, it's kids. We got to, you know, you have to protect and respect their privacy legally. You can't come in here. So nobody's pushing back. No one in the press is asking how many millions of dollars have been thrown at this problem, exacerbated by Joe Biden. And then you got Catholic Charities or any of, you know, insert religious Christian name here, charities or Salvation Army, whoever is that's providing food. And it's mostly the bigger organizations like Catholic Charities. Hand over fist, man. They're getting big checks to provide any type of, like, showers, relief, temporary stay, hotel stay. Work through the non-government organizations, the NGOs, to put them up somewhere. And now Governor Abbott has been paying out of Texas coffers. And at one time, I remember Governor Abbott had set up a method for people to donate to pay for these charter companies, hire these charter companies, bus charter companies, and send people up to the, you know, air quotes, sanctuary city, places like Denver and New York and Chicago and all that. So the state of Texas is footing the bill. This ain't no block grant from, you know, Office of Refugee Resettlement or some other State Department or other grant coming down from the federal government. No, the state of Texas footing the bill to send these people up there, and it's folks up there that are demanding the money from the federal government, like the mayor in New York, Eric Adams. I think the easy solution, look, if this becomes a nasty legal fight where the expense for Texas would grow exponentially because you have to lawyer up, you get put their Attorney General Ken Paxton and crew to try to fight this and take New York to court, and you're limiting hours of these transfers from Texas, just put them on a Greyhound. Is Greyhound still in business? I mean, I don't know what companies we have out there, but put them on a regular company like a Greyhound bus. I mean, if you don't know this, here at airports on the border, when folks are released, processed by Border Patrol, from the NGOs, the non-government organizations, Catholic Charities, eventually, after the Border Patrol releases them into the general population with their manila folder or their paperwork stating that they're in the country legally until they get a court date from the immigration office, immigration court, for their asylum hearing that they want, the asylum process, these NGOs will put a ticket in their hand, either bus ticket or an airline ticket. And at the local airports on the border, you will see on any given day after the mass release of individuals into the country, like Phoenix, for example. I wouldn't be surprised if out of Phoenix, there are a lot of flights. You know, Phoenix is big enough to host a lot of these illegals. But a lot of these illegals, they want to visit or want to live, prefer to live in L.A. and New York and Chicago, other places. I wouldn't be surprised out of Phoenix, your airport, on a regular basis, you're seeing individuals on flights, and you can tell who they are because they got a fresh pair of socks and flip-flops. They got that little folder of theirs. They got a little sack that's been given to them by the charity after they took a shower and had a meal, and they've been released into the population. And there are several seats to fill up with these illegal immigrants, you know, a.k.a. asylum seekers that are gaming the program, headed to where they want, the market of their choice. Just put them on Greyhound buses, Governor Abbott. Just put them on Greyhound bus. Send a van full of these folks. Say, hey, who wants to go to New York? Okay, here we go. Take the van over to the bus station. Okay, folks, here's a ticket to wherever you want to go. That's the way you send. And then leave New York, Denver, and Chicago, their administrations, to improvise how to round up these folks and put them in a tent, in a shelter. You got to keep fighting. You got to keep pushing because the federal government, the Biden administration, the executive branch refuses to enforce border law. And hence, we got a new law in Texas. I'll probably mention to you here pretty soon. Not supposed to go into effect till March, But that new law is hoping to do the job that the executive branch, the federal government, is not doing. You know, arresting people that cross illegally, send them back. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez reporting to you from her Southern Command in the RGV of Texas. Happy New Year.
Looking for a proactive solution in a battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code Dana10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code Dana10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10. That's Dana and the number 10.
Before sending your child off to collect six figures in debt at the age of 18, remember to make sure that school isn't another woke hedge fund corporation. Elite universities have gone from places of excellence to places of political and social engineering. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Heads up, popular portable blender posing a danger if you have it, according to U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. It's called BlendJet, voluntarily recalling about 5 million of these things. The BlendJet 2 blender, sold by Amazon and Costco, Walmart, Target, all the big ones. So this product, currently for sale, not impacted by the recall. The company said the recall notices saying the earlier versions risk the blender overheating and the blades breaking off. Oh, that's not going to be good. Extra crunchy shake for you. Two French chefs and a cheesemaker breaking the Guinness World Record by creating a pizza with over 1,000 different types of cheese. The chef was behind the culinary creation that was baked back in 2020. Boy, it took 3 years to confirm this. 1,000 types of cheese. I say double pepperoni and put some pineapple on it. Probably tastes really good. And see, a group of 15 modern era finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame Class 2024 have been announced. Check with the NFL site, Cooperstown. They're gonna put in five of the modern era. Among the new names, Andre Johnson is a Houston boy. That's Texan. That catches my eye. And the Browns have punched their ticket to the NFL postseason following a 37-20 beatdown of the Jets on Thursday Night Football. Good for them. How many years, how many decades for the Browns? From South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Well, the idea that one bureaucrat in an executive position can simply unilaterally disqualify someone from office, that turns on its head every notion of constitutional due process that this country's always abided by for over 200 years. It opens up Pandora's box. Can you have a Republican Secretary of State disqualify Biden from the ballot because he's let in 8 million people illegally, a massive invasion?
Yeah, criminal behavior. He is the chief executive. He's the CEO. It is the executive branch. Joe Biden, single-handedly, he is one-third of the American government, and it's in his charge, and it's on his desk. He's the one who needs to execute American law, and he's not. He hasn't. He's refused, willfully refused to do that for 3 years, specifically on the border, just allowing for this open border and just maneuvering and manipulating policy to allow an open border. And that's the reality that we face right now. Yeah, that's the voice of Governor Ron DeSantis. Welcome to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, an honor to be with you today. You want to say hi online, you get to use X, you know, Twitter, at Sergio. Talk to him, send a message. You can send a message there, that DM thing. Speaking of Ron DeSantis, as I mentioned earlier, I wish from his part, and yes, Governor Ron DeSantis, addressing the issue of the Secretary of State in Maine, going after Donald Trump, trying to take him off the ballot, because he will remain on the ballot. because of her choice. She's going to wait to see what the courts say about her maneuver to try to get him off the ballot. So in the end, in Colorado and in Maine, for now, Donald Trump's name will be on the ballot for the primary, because this woman, this Democrat, this partisan Secretary of State, former Senate candidate, from what I understand, and appointed to be Secretary of State, she decided to go after Donald Trump, but will stay there waiting for a court decision. But I'd like to hear more from Ron DeSantis, because Donald Trump has been under fire, all these cases, bogus cases brought against him. And I've heard a few comments from Ron DeSantis, but we need more leadership. I know that some of his handlers probably tell him, well, Governor, you know, one of the basic rules when you run against somebody is never mention your opponent's name, they say. Never give them some free press. Never mention your opponent's name at all. That's just like one of the strategies. It's like the political science. They say each big sign that's like, you know, how wide are those suckers? Like 10 by 6 or something. Those big road signs, right? Each sign equals X amount of votes. I mean, somebody's done all this science. They call it political science. And in the real science of political science, somebody's done the numbers that each road sign equals this amount. Each TV ad is supposed to equal this much. And so each mention by you, the candidate of your opponent, is going to equal to X amount of votes for your opponent. To hell with all that. Liberty is under fire. What the Democrats have been accusing the Republicans in being, you know, Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. It's the Democrats, the high court in Colorado. It's the Secretary of State in the state of Maine that are actually exercising the attacks on democracy itself by trying to remove Donald Trump. I'd love to hear Ron DeSantis defend Donald Trump. I'd love to hear Nikki Haley after she gets, you know, she gets over, or she's finished defending herself and what she's saying or not saying in the campaign trail, come and defend her previous boss. And what about the party leadership? Ronald McDonald. Where's the party leadership? Where's the defense? I know you can't take a stand. You can't be showing preferences. It's the primary, after all. Yes, I know this is a former chairman. You can't be acknowledging anybody. But it is liberty. It is your party that is under attack. Stand up and say something against all these Democrats that are constantly attacking. Be more vocal about it. Be more visible when it comes to your defense. Let's see here. New Year's Day, more than 8 billion people will be living on Earth, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. The population in the U.S. by estimates on January 1st, 2024, our country will have grown by 1.7 million people this year, and the New Year's Day population will be slightly under 336 million people. Wrong. Just that number, 1.7 million people, tells me everything about how the Census Bureau is tabulating the numbers. Because illegal immigrants, so-called asylum seekers, that number alone is over 2 million. So no, they didn't count the illegals across the border working, gaming the asylum system. So it's just babies born in this country. That's it. And maybe people who cross legally, and maybe they counted those. And I don't know how they did, because everybody's busy at immigration courts at trying to count all the illegals coming in here, standing in line at the asylum system. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. You're listening to The Dana Show. So where now? Where do we go now? What to expect now is several Democrats, and expect more Democrats, to try to keep Donald Trump off the ballot. Go ahead, Steve. Oh, it's Byron. Sorry, Byron, the attorney. As we enter election year 2024, TDS is running rampant. Trump derangement syndrome. The hate for Donald Trump, it's everywhere. It's affecting even the highest courts, Colorado, trying to keep him off the ballot. And now in the state of Maine, someone's working hard to keep Donald Trump off the ballot. Constitutional expert Byron Henry, our guest. Let's recap the mess that we're in right now and how you see things unfolding in 2024.
Certainly. It's great to be with you today. And obviously, this is a very important issue leading into this primary season and the presidential election year. So first of all, in Maine, it was an election official. So we don't even have a court system ruling. We have a partisan elected Secretary of State, which a lot of states in this country have. Some of them are appointed by the legislature, some of them are elected. But we basically have a Democratic Secretary of State in Maine that has read the news reports, read the Colorado opinion, got some briefing in some papers, and said that it's incumbent upon me as an individual election official to remove the leading presidential candidate from one of the major political parties from the ballot in a state based on that, without a charge, without a court ruling that Article, the 14th Amendment, Section 3 applies to the president, whether or not it's self-enforcing, whether or not it requires a conviction, whether or not it only applies to holding office. I mean, there's a lot of scholarship out there that say it has nothing to do with whether a party can put an individual on the ballot. It's whether or not they can actually take office. So it has nothing to do with elections. It has to do with whether or not they can actually serve. So you've got all these legal issues that are basically people from both sides of the aisle are some agreeing on, some disagreeing on. And one official in one state just says, you know what, this looks like an insurrection to me. I'm not a legal scholar. I'm not a court. I don't have any constitutional authority, but I'm just going to go ahead and keep him off the ballot. That's very scary. And it's exactly what people from both parties warned about when the Colorado decision came down. It's basically like, are you really wanting to open the door to people taking candidates off the ballot? And I think it's a bad idea for either party. It's bad for our constitutional republic. And it's not what the framers intended or Congress intended. The 14th Amendment, Section 3, that's for sure.
Does the GOP leader in the state of Maine need to go to court? What needs to happen right now?
Well, certainly it's going to play out in the Maine courts before it plays out in a national court. I think the Maine Secretary of State did say that Donald Trump would remain on the ballot, as did the Colorado Supreme Court, by the way, until a court rules on the decision. So as of right now, not to say that this it helps a little. I mean, it doesn't solve the problem because we literally have Democrats, in this instance, Democrats saying Republican candidates can't be on the ballot in their state. So that is a major emergency. But in both states, President Trump will remain on the ballot until a court rules. It's not the other way around. Then it is likely he will appear on the ballot in both states. But right now, it's not a five-alarm emergency because he's going to remain on the ballot. But this idea is spreading. Other people have tried it in other states. Yeah. Michigan has shut it down. A couple other courts have said, don't even come bother us with it. Ultimately, the Supreme Court of the United States is going to have to interpret the 14th Amendment, Section 3, on this insurrection clause. I suspect they're going to say that it's not self-enforcing, that you need a charge and a conviction under the congressional statute that was passed in 1870, I believe it was, on insurrection of the federal law. But regardless of my opinion on what would ultimately happen, I think this is probably not going to affect immediately the 2024 election, which is good. I think the can will be kicked down the road a bit.
The constitutional pro attorney Byron Henry. To me, it's amazing to see the possibility that the high court would be the first court that fully hears the case back and forth in arguments for something like this. There are two scenarios. One of them would be they don't want to hear it, which, man, you talk about putting things in a tailspin. Number two, if they do take it, then you got people showing up saying the specific officials and offices name that does not include the president. And then, oh, and by the way, let's look at history. This was relevant post-Civil War. Look at all these people who wound up working in Congress anyway. Look at all these officials from the South working public office for the Union eventually. It's like it didn't affect them negatively. So why are we going after Donald Trump?
That's right. I mean, no one has tried to enforce this provision. So the Supreme Court, as you know, doesn't rule on hypotheticals or on opinions that are advisory opinions on the way the law would work. They need a case. And this hasn't come up in, 150 years or 100, however many years. So this clause has not been relevant. And so the court will ultimately have to rule on this if people continue to attempt to misuse this provision for partisan ends. And so it's ironic to me that the people that screamed that Donald Trump was a threat to democracy, which was their rallying cry,
yes,
for all this stuff.
Yes.
It's literally that group that is attempting to subvert of the democratic process of elections by literally keeping the opposition party off the ballot, which we hear stories about. We've never experienced that in this country, at least up until now. Third world countries where there's no opposition to these candidates, even though they're not very popular, but somehow they've managed to strong arm the election process so they don't face any opposition. It's amazing that that's what we're faced with today. I would not have thought, as skeptical as I can be about the legal process and about the way the election processes have worked over the last 3 or 4 years, that we would literally have people removing candidates from the ballot and threatening to remove candidates from the ballot of the major political parties willy-nilly. I'm talking not convicted of felonies, not with the Supreme Court of the United States ruling on certain things, but just writing a 2-page letter saying, I've decided as a Secretary of State that Joe Biden or Donald Trump cannot be the president of the United States, so he's not going to be on the ballot. To me, that is an acceleration of where we are, into light speed into issues that need to be resolved in this country. And if that's where we are, yeah, democracy or our republic, the way we elect our leaders, is in jeopardy, but it's not for the reasons that the left says it is.
If that scenario plays out, man, I would hate to think how 2024 will turn out as far as protest and pushback and folks that are just not going to have it, not having Donald Trump on the ballot. It's like the U.S. Supreme Court must say something related to this to shut everyone up, because if they don't, it's going to be chaos in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, they could issue a short per curiam opinion without explaining the entire world of the 14th Amendment just by staying Colorado's order with a short per curiam opinion that procedurally it's not right because it deals with holding office, or that there's serious questions about whether or not it even applies to the presidency. There's a lot of scholarship on that, as you talked about, because he's not named, and there's other scholarly works that talk about the president not being an officer under the United States because he's literally an entire branch of the United States government, the executive branch under Article 2. So there's a lot of things that the Supreme Court could do here, but they do need to speak in some way, or this is going to get out of hand really fast, and they're going to end up with cases from all over the country and different procedural postures that they're going to have to deal with. So it's best for them just to take that Colorado case on an expedited basis and just make some kind of ruling, even if it's a procedural or administrative stay of that ruling with some comments, and that should pretty much tamp this down nationwide.
They have to. I mean, they're going to start printing ballots right after the new year for the March primaries in a lot of states. The powwow needs to be now, and they need to say something to get rid of this ember, turn it off before this becomes a raging blaze of controversy and chaos.
Yeah, I mean, I expect the Supreme Court to be heard on this, on the Colorado case, because the Colorado opinion is a final opinion from the highest court. I'm not sure about the main decision, because that's the Secretary of State's decision that hasn't been to the courts. But the Colorado decision is the one that makes the most sense. It was the first one. It'll get there the most quickly. I think that's the one that they need to speak on. And you know what? It would really be good if, like, some of these other both Democrats and Republicans, but especially Democrats that are coming out, which I have to applaud in this instance because they're no fans of Donald Trump, obviously, or the Republican Party, saying that we detest Donald Trump. We think he is a threat to democracy, but this is not the way you solve the problem. And I really think the president, I'm not expecting any good things from President Biden, but if he had any leadership in this area, he would say something from the top just to say, this is not the way. Hopefully that would also put an end to this drive to keep Donald Trump off the ballot in some kind of machinations behind the scenes instead of just beating him at the ballot box.
Constitutional pro Byron Henry. And just a final question, Byron, since it is a public official, an elected official in Maine in charge of putting together the elections in Maine, does Donald Trump need to sue and hope for a quick resolution of that case?
Yeah, I mean, you have to initiate a challenge to the Secretary of State's decision. It's a liberal former candidate for Senate and an appointed Secretary of State. You will need to initiate. President Trump's lawyers will have to take legal action in Maine against the Secretary of State and initiate that process and go up through the system and get a final decision in the courts. Luckily, the Maine Secretary of State said that her decision will not be effective until that happens. So that means he will remain on the ballot. The ballots will get printed unless a court says otherwise before the deadline. So that's the one saving grace about the opinion.
Wishing you happiness and success in 2024. You be safe.
You too. My pleasure.
Constitutional pro Byron Henry. I thought you'd like to know that more Democrats attacking democracy this time in California, they've lost. The party in California demanded that Donald Trump be removed from the California primary. Governor Gavin Goodhair Newsom said, no, the voters decide. And the Secretary of State, news this morning, Secretary of State in California saying Donald Trump will stay, his name will stay on the California primary ballot. I'm Sergio Sanchez reporting to you from South Texas, The Dana Show, Southern Command. This is The Dana Show.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show from her Southern Command in the RGV of Texas. Stick around. Got more of the day's news and great conversations I want to share with you. I learn something every single day, and I know you know this. You tune in to talk radio, news radio, every single day you pick up a little gold nugget of information. So some of the conversations coming up. Victor Avila is a former Immigration Customs Enforcement Special Supervisory Agent, well, Supervisory Special Agent, had a long career with ICE, you know, that branch of the federal government, that agency that's supposed to catch illegal immigrants. Especially the criminals, prioritize that and kick them out of the country. These days under Joe Biden, they're not doing hardly any of that because there is no emphasis on deportation. And man, with the millions upon millions of illegals that we have here now, a lot of criminals in that mix, several criminals, I'm not going to say a lot, but several, they need to be found and they need to be kicked out because they're not being processed properly. So Victor, and tell me, this is absolutely the worst he has ever seen on the border. He wants to go to Congress, by the way. As a former ICE agent, he's running for Congress here in West Texas. He's seen the board, so I'm going to share that conversation with you. And strategies for the GOP right now, for the national office, I know has deep pockets and could be messaging in swing states. A conversation with my friend up Northeast, Nicolee Ambrose. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Happy New Year.
Well, actually, it's pathetic on the Republican side. They can't govern. They're in disarray. It is chaotic. It is pitiful. Out of, 700 votes or so, they got, 27 votes all year, and only 26 of them were passed. And so they're incapable of directing and running this government.
It is the system that our founding fathers gave us. We run government, and sadly, all these budget things by committee, and it's really hard to get committees to move in unison, moving in one direction. That's the way things are. They're meant to be. That's the way our government is. And thank God for the wisdom of our founding fathers. Tragically, for big government-minded individuals like you here, blabbermouth Maxine Waters, they want more government, they want faster government, they want more regulations, they want more laws, they want more taxes, more of government. You can't get that when you got hurdles and you got some obstacles in the way, namely liberty-minded individuals who are intransigent, and I hope they continue to, the few of them have a spine, continue to stay in the way from growing this government beyond a point where we just, we lose everything, all our liberties, all our property, everything becomes a state. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash as we're closing out 2023. Lord willing, Dana will be back with us early next week. But Maxine Waters was saying about the GOP, that they're pathetic, incapable of directing, running the government. Kind of reminded me of what I was thinking about last hour. Yeah, always listen carefully. Always watch. Listen and watch. What is the left doing? What are they saying? What are they accusing their political opponents? What are they accusing the GOP of? And know that many times they, the Democrats, are the ones who are hypocritically making those accusations, hypocritically committing the very thing that they're accusing the GOP of. Right? You can't govern and capable of directing and running and governing. Yeah, that's unless you, Maxine Waters, and all the Democrats wish to sit down and allow the other team to run things more efficiently, be governed. And that's the way things are. And then, I hope you've been paying attention enough to, for example, what I said the day before that. In America in 2024, examine who's on the ballot. Please know the key issues that are at stake. which is, of course, the hyperinflation. Going back to 2021, 25, 30% increase of everything that we're paying for. We need thousands of dollars more. What was it, like $8,400 and some other analysts saying like about $11,000 more per family, depending on what you make. We need about $8,000 to $10,000 more. Going to round it out, $8,000 to $10,000 more right now to keep up with life, to pay the bills and food and everything else compared to back in 2021. It's the economy, stupid. It's the economy. It's inflation. It's the border, Biden border mess that is undeniable now. Despite all the dancing, the kabuki dance and everything they're doing in the administration, sending Team Biden to Mexico City to speak with AMLO about getting down to the root causes of immigration, blah, 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 blah. Just poking, trying to poke you in the eye. Pay attention. I feel like Foghorn Leghorn. Pay attention, boy. These Democrats still trying to poke your eyes. And not the Republic, not that the Republicans are perfect. They're not. But in 2024, you want to be done with this stalemate. You want to be done with this log jam that we have up in D.C. You want to move in the direction to protect America, our interest, our citizens, our young people, our future, our manufacturing, everything. You got to vote differently. You got to stop voting stupidly and examine who, examine especially the incumbents, the Senate, the Democrat Senate incumbents. There's lots of Democrats running for office again. Examine the U.S. House representatives, the incumbents in the U.S. House. Who are these people? How long have they been there? They need to go home. Are they America first in their mindset? Are they going to protect our nation? Are they going to protect our trade or our manufacturing? Are they going to protect the taxpayers? Stop riding all these jacks and sending them overseas to places that will forever be unaccountable in how they spend your grandkids' money. Because everything right now is deficit spending. Or you just, by tradition, my family, we've always been Democrat, and we got to continue voting Democrat. No, you don't. You got to use the gray matter between your ears. Look at these people that you're about to vote for. What do they represent? How long have they been there? What's their voting record on key issues that concern our future? America, deficit spending, international welfare. Where do they stand on the key issues for our future? Examine those and vote. Just send them home. If we stop voting stupidly in 2024 and think of America first, and anybody who promises, vote for people who promise. Yes, I know they might have that scary R next to their name. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the run is an independent. Look for them. Examine these people. Know what they believe in. They must focus on America first. That's a great slogan. And I think Donald Trump and his campaign, many good things came. Best one-term president in American history, period, because he focused on our concerns, our nation first. That's what we need up in Washington, D.C. And listen to all these Democrats. Anything that they accuse the Republicans, they're the ones that are guilty. Whether it's, I don't know, like racism is the first thing that comes to mind, right? These Democrats, these mental meds, always self-segregating. Always, they're committing racism against white people. You're white, you're not included. We're going to exclude you. The attacks on education that they accuse conservatives and Republicans all the time. And they are the ones, the first ones, and in some of these cities, the first ones who get, when they get into power, they start denying competition, even a bit of competition that has been injected into the market. Like, you know, charter schools, for example, in the inner city, allowing kids. These politicians send their kids to private schools, but they demand that the electorate, the citizens, they send their kids to public schools that are filled with crime and incompetent educators and bloated budgets and bloated administrations. Denying kids, namely parents, the opportunity to provide their kids a better education through competition. The war on women stuff. You know, first thing that pops into my mind is denying how many millions of little women, females, are killed before they come into that one life they're supposed to live, that one life they're supposed to enjoy and show up and participate in committees and in government and in education and in science and innovate and be a good citizen, pay taxes. How many women do they advocate for the murder of by advocating for abortion? So listen carefully to the Democrats, what they say, what they accuse the rights or conservatives or Republicans of. They're the ones that are guilty of all that. Oh, in the news, I saw this on X last night, people posting video. I think it was from Ventura, California, near L.A., a massive wave. Did you see that? If you haven't seen it, man, you got to go look for some of these videos. I thought it was like late at night when I saw this. And someone near the beach, near a wall, near a pier, and maybe this young man, sounded like a man who was running from this massive wave. It almost looked like a tidal wave. It came over, massive wave, came over the whatever wall, the pier, the wall that was there. Massive wave of water, huge amount of water, crashing onto the shore, onto the street, onto the road, business beyond business, beyond business, beyond vehicle. It looked like a tsunami. So update to this story. It was a real thing. I thought somebody had posted that. It was fake. You know how artificial intelligence is. So from the Los Angeles area, near the shore, several people injured, giant wave hitting a California beach. And look for the video I'm talking about on X, on Twitter. This guy, he did us all a favor. He was running away from, you can hear him like gasping for air, and he was scared that the water's catching up to him. I think he had some software that maybe normalized or kept everything from looking too shaky, or he just was holding the phone like almost perfectly, because you could see the water right as he was running full speed and people behind him running full speed. You could see the water coming ashore through the street, up the road, up that boulevard, engulfing vehicle after vehicle after truck. This dude must have ran like at least a quarter mile before he was able to slow it down, see the water had stopped. It looked like a little mini tsunami. 8 of the people, 20 people, nearly 20 people were swept off the Ventura Beach. Massive wave that crashed on onlookers were standing behind a barrier. 8 of the people were taken to the hospital. And there might be more to come. The National Weather Service saying that there were some large waves and some dangerous rip currents, and they will continue in California through the weekend, even up to San Francisco. Could see waves as high as 40 feet. And coastal flooding, high surf alerts being posted from the West Coast, the Pacific Northwest, up north Oregon, all the way down to the Mexican border. So just a heads up in California for that. There was another thing I noticed, and a friend of mine, Joe Bastardi, we were going back and forth, Joe Lundberg as well, from two separate entities, weather entities. Somebody had posted, I think it was probably one long-range weather computer model, stating like in 2 weeks, we're going to have like this huge mass of cold air come down from Canada into the nation's midsection all the way down to like North Texas or maybe Central Texas. It's 2 weeks away, maybe 2 weeks plus away. And computer models are something all crazy. But anyway, just something to watch over the next several days as we get closer, go deep into January. We might have another one of those freeze apocalypse around the corner. Google reportedly has agreed to settle a $5 billion consumer privacy lawsuit. Full report in Reuters saying that Google has agreed to settle the suit. They claim that Google secretly was tracking your information. In fact, millions of people, their information. They thought that they were browsing privately. And so the lawsuit argued that Google's analytics, the apps, the cookies, all the ancillary stuff that still asks for your permission, they continue to track your activity, or millions of people, their activity on Google. Even when they had set on Chrome, the browser, they set it to incognito and other browsers to private browsing. But Google just kept on going through the other windows that they had access to your information. $5 billion. So it's a $5 billion suit. They settled the suit. I don't know if they settled for much less than that. Every time I see a regulatory agency the government in any form take a giant like Google or you name it, Tesla or Microsoft or an oil giant, whatever, anytime they take these people to court and they announce a settlement of to the tune of billions of dollars XYZ, wouldn't you like to know what happened to the money? Because how often do you hear headlines like this, right? That some big company settled for billions of dollars, the government going after them for whatever. Man, that's billions and billions and billions of dollars over many years. What happens to all that money? Now, everybody uses Google. Yes, I know. I try to talk up, you know, DuckDuckGo, for example, or Bing, another search engine. Try to give competition. We need some competition. We need some other strong search engines. We just can't have just Google, but Google's the brand. Everybody uses Google. So I'm sure with all the research and the reading and the online, the posting that here around the news department that we have to do and individually we have to do as well, I'm sure we're part of this. We're part of that. Well, we should be part of this. We should be getting a check. Like I would like to, I'd like to get in on this action, $5 billion, or if it was like $4 billion that they settled for. What happens to the money? Man, I would love to hear politicians up in D.C. saying, look, we have these, even if they say we have these unconstitutional regulatory agencies not called for in federal government, this is irrelevant. Well, they exist now, they go after companies, and they get billions of dollars. I'd like to hear a politician say, I'm going to pass a single-issue legislation to make them accountable. These agencies who get the big, fat paychecks, I like to know, the taxpayers deserve to see, the consumers deserve to know, where this money, where it went, who it went to. How can we get some of that? I think they need to make that more transparent. I think that they need to make that easier for people to access. This is my two cents. I'd love to see legislation like that because they make the announcement, makes the headlines, then you never hear what happens to the billions of dollars. Well, Happy New Year to you. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You want to say hi online, you have to use X, you know, Twitter, at Sergio Talk. So Happy New Year to you. Be safe on the road, headed back home if that's what you're doing, or headed back to Grandma's for the New Year celebration. From South Texas, this is The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
From South Texas, this is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, federal judge in Manhattan, rejecting an attempt by New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez to try to delay his corruption trial. No, they'll stay on schedule, says the judge. This one from Australia, a shark attack. This time, a 15-year-old surfer, a shark attack death of a teen surfer this week. The third off South Australia's coast of high concern, say officials down there, down under, saying that these attacks are very, very rare. New study saying social media companies are cashing in on young users. Harvard study saying that, well, for the younger users, it would be, what, the Communist Party-owned TikTok, right? They also love YouTube, and I say this because I got a 16-year-old. That dude is always on YouTube checking out videos, funny, stupid videos all the time, just wasting so much time. I have to bop him upside the head. Go listen to something in Spanish or learn something from biology. So it's TikTok, YouTube, Snapchat, some of them use Facebook, Instagram. Collectively, they tallied the numbers. All these social media sites, as of most recently, 2022, they made $11 billion in ad revenue from Americans 18 years and younger. And as some of these commercials are now entering the video games that they're playing, yeah, they're going to make billions, billions more. I'm Sergio Sanchez wishing you a very happy new year. From South Texas, this is The Dana Show.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a Democrat, but I'll say the Biden administration has absolutely dropped the ball. I'm not going to let them off the hook. They have left us in the ditch with this, and that's unacceptable. What I'm hearing now is encouraging. We needed to hear this a year ago.
Maybe Chicago Alderman Brian Hopkins is making reference to that meeting in Mexico City, because I'm not hearing anything as far as a real solution. You know, the solution would be to stop the flow of humanity at the border, the illegal flow of humanity, the tsunami. That would be the solution, don't you think? I'm not hearing anything about that. The only thing in the news is this much celebrated and talked about a little meeting between Team Biden, Tony Blinken, and Alex Mayorkas in Mexico City with him talking about immigration, just doing a little dance, pretending to try to do something. Oh, and they're going to meet again, as you know, as far as I see, right? They're going to meet again in the near future. Well, good for them. Yeah, there was one headline that said immigration talks are spicing up in Mexico City, which I think was probably a reference to some of the hot sauce. That's like the real hot sauce that they use in Mexico City, because I don't see any solution to this immigration mess. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana Lash, and Lord willing, she'll be with us early next week. I'm trying to close out 2023, trying to get you all the day's news and conversations I want to share with you. Coming up in just a little bit, my conversation with Victor Avila. Victor Avila is a former Immigration Customs Enforcement agent. ICE is the agency that is in charge of catching illegals, people who overstayed their visas, especially the criminals. You know, they had record numbers of deportations under Barack Hussein Obama. You remember that? It's a darn shame that Joe Biden, he doesn't like tear a page from Barry. Say, okay, well, we're going to concentrate on the criminals. We're going to put ICE to work and gather all the criminals, even if we have to rip children from their arms, if they're rapists, if they're convicts. If this is like the 20th time they came to the country and this is beyond a felony, we're going to catch the criminals and send them back. You know, kind of like what Barry did, Barack Hussein Obama. He was, because Barack Obama was celebrating a record number of deportations under his administration. You don't hear any of that, of course, under Joe Biden, because they're not doing it. Joe Biden doesn't want it. So a conversation with my friend Victor Avila, former ICE agent, who was, he and his partner, while in Mexico City, stationed in Mexico City, they were the victims of cartel violence. The cartels came after them. They were sent on the road for some mission, go pick up something, and the cartels caught up with them, shot up their SUV with 100 bullets. His partner died. Yeah, he'll share that story with you. That's coming up in just a little bit, and he'll give you his perspective on how bad it is on the border. Just in a few words, the worst ever. The situation on the border, illegal immigration, the tsunami, the worst he has ever seen. And he visits West Texas often because he's running for Congress in Texas, trying to represent West Texas at the border and all the way back to El Paso, far west Texas, all the way back to the western portion of San Antonio. In the meantime, oh yeah, another conversation I'm going to share with you is the conservative strategy going into 2024, and I am missing a lot of headlines on any. Now, if there is some work being done by national leadership, you know, Ronna McDaniel, if there truly is any leadership right now, because we're on two tracks. We got the Trump camp that's way ahead. He has his own money. He's trying to fundraise, and he's fighting everybody, and no one's coming to his defense on the party side or fellow candidates. And you got the party work that needs to be done on the ground just in swing states. That's all you need to concentrate on. This election in 2024, the presidential election, will be determined. And many of the congressional seats, the swing seats, will be determined in swing states right now. If, Ms. McDaniel, if you and Mr. Romney and everybody else in the family and all your volunteers, if you got teams on the ground doing a voter registration drive like we've never seen before for Republicans, I apologize. If you have a recruitment effort to hire election workers for the primary and hire election workers for the general election and the two-week period of early vote, Republicans to sit their butts on the seats and conduct the elections. If you are actively recruiting and hiring these people and working the phones and finding these people, I apologize. And if somehow you're right now filming and editing, cutting, recording commercials to play in the inner city, to play to swing states, even before I started mentioning, I apologize. But no, I don't see it. And yeah, we'll talk strategy with a friend of mine, Nicolee Ambrose, who's part of the committee, the national committee. Say, like on the Democrat and Republican side, they got this national committee. Each state sends like a man and a woman. That's the national committee. And then they got the chair. And that's how they decide at the party level what to do. It's time to go on offense right now, people. So that conversation's coming up in just a little bit. Meantime, let's go to the border, and someone who's an expert on border issues, my friend Victor Avila. Immigration Customs Enforcement retired agent and friend Victor Avila, who's running for Congress, by the way. We can talk about that in a little bit. He's also author of Agents Under Fire and for working people running around town. Tell me a bit about your career and how it came to an end, and especially your colleague and friend Jaime Zapata, how his life came to an end at the hands of cartels south of the border.
Yeah, Sergio, thanks for having me on. I'm originally from El Paso and worked this entire border my entire career. And in 2008, my career shifted over to Mexico, working in Ciudad Juarez and then Mexico City. And then fast forward to 2011, while I was stationed in Mexico City, Special Agent Jaime Zapata and I were sent on this dubious assignment from Mexico City towards Monterrey to pick up some equipment. And on the way back, we were ambushed by two SUVs full of Los Zetas cartel members who shot at our vehicle over 100 rounds. And Jaime Agent Zapata tragically lost his life in the line of duty. And I'm here by the grace of God, having survived being shot three times. And so that's that does something to you, you know. It shook the world of myself and my family's upside down. But it hasn't stopped, at least me, from fighting and continuing to bring the information, at least to the people, as to what is happening at the southern border. Because I tell you, I know firsthand the imminent threat that we face because of this open border system, because I've been there and I lived it.
How quickly time passes, brother. It's been over a decade. What was it, 2010, 2011? What was it, 2012?
It was February 15, 2011. So 2011. We're coming up on the, 13th year anniversary?
That's amazing.
I'm the first one to tell you, and a lot of people will not have the courage to say this, but I'm going to tell you, Mexico is not our friend, and Mexico is
Agreed.
Not our partner.
Agreed.
And I'm not talking, I'm not talking about the people. I want people to understand it's the government.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I understand. Yeah, the truer words have not been spoken. My goodness. My guest right now, a friend, Victor Avila, he's a former Immigration Customs Enforcement agent who was stationed in Mexico for some time. He made the news, he and his colleague, Jaime Zapata, his partner. They were attacked by the cartels back in 2011, and Jaime Zapata succumbed to his bullet wounds. Victor survived and lives to tell the story, and he knows how Mexico operates. And I want to ask you about Mexico. AMLO in the news this week, as we have Team Biden in Mexico, in Mexico City, right? Tony Blinken, Alejandro Mayorkas, or as I refer to him, Menorkas, doing the minimum possible when it comes to border enforcement, down there speaking with AMLO and saying, hey, you need to do something about your cartels. Hello, people. It's the cartels. That's the government. In Mexico, they run things. Everybody else is just a puppet of the cartels. That's the way I see it.
Well, you're absolutely right, Sergio. And let me tell you, the conversation, if I was privy to have that visit with the president of Mexico, it would be a very completely different conversation than the one that they had. Let me tell you, they are not going over there to hold Mexico accountable for their role in this fiasco of the open border. Now, we have our challenges here, and I understand the Biden administration won't secure it and all that, but we also have to hold Mexico accountable. These people coming from 100 and I don't know how many countries into Mexico are also illegally present in Mexico, and Mexico has one of the most strictest immigration laws, and they are not deporting anybody.
Yeah.
They're actually allowing these people to come into and use the country of Mexico to gain access into the United States. We are not holding them accountable. Now, Mexico wants us to partner up with Cuba and Venezuela, who happen to be their allies, not ours. Why? Who are these countries? They're communist and socialist countries. And we're over there trying to negotiate that. It's incredible to me that we're not over there holding the fire to the feet of the government of Mexico and saying, listen, we're beyond putting tariffs on them. I'm talking about sanctions. I'm talking about going after them in their trade. Because, as you know, living on the border, everything, that a lot of the stuff that comes on those trucks is household goods that we buy, and it comes to that multi-billion-dollar trade, but nobody wants to deal with it. Nobody wants to address it because it means that we will, hit them in the pocketbook where it hurts. But Ooh. I think now security for the state of Texas and this United States is above everything else. We must help secure our country, and protect our sovereignty, because not only is this administration not helping from within, we have Mexico and Central America and a bunch of other countries, China, taking advantage of us.
Victor Avila, former supervisory special agent, U.S. Immigration Customs Enforcement, ICE. And ICE, around here, they're the ones that are supposed to be rounding up criminals, individuals in the country illegally, and kicking them out. But under the Biden administration, well, we don't have too much of that right now. And I'm glad you mentioned the commercial trade. When Governor Greg Abbott was inspecting trucks, all trucks coming in from Mexico, to do, you know, the DPS, truck safety inspections, air quotes, the stop and see, and that way they could get a chance to bring out the drug doggies and sniff around to see if there's any contraband, find any illegal immigrants in there. I just want to get your opinion, your informed opinion. Do you think that the majority of all the drugs that are coming into this country, the fentanyl, all the other crap that comes into this country, is it coming into this country via a lot of commercial trucks, a network of commercial trucks that are not being inspected?
Absolutely. Let me tell you right now, and let me tell you, my answer would probably be different 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago. Today, my answer is all of the above. Commercial trucks, through the ports of entry, in between the ports of entry, any way you can think of, the fentanyl and the meth and the heroin and the cocaine is coming into our country. Why? Because all of those options are completely available to the cartels. Now, I don't want to talk about what I'm trying to do here, but one of the things that we need to also look at is CBP, Office of Field Operations, the guys in blue at the ports of entry. Yeah. We need to really shift the mission there, because a lot of illicit activity is coming through the port of entry, and we need to focus on them as well. I know a lot of the focus on the poor Border Patrol agents that have just been overwhelmed and just, I believe, humiliated and demoralized by not allowing them to do their jobs. We will go back to change that, but we also need to focus on the other agencies as well, because the cartel has taken advantage of all of them, Sergio.
Former supervisory special agent with ICE, Victor Avila, also running for Congress. He is also author of Agents Under Fire. Look for his book. You've been to the front lines. I think you went to Eagle Pass recently.
Well, in this district, as you know, I'm running for Congress in District 23. I was just there. I've been there. I go almost on a weekly basis now from San Antonio, Eagle Pass, all the way to El Paso. And I just got back from Eagle Pass. You saw the mess of the 5,000 and more people that were there.
Yes.
I could tell you, Sergio, I have in my personal or professional life had never seen this happen ever. The complete disregard for our immigration laws, for our Constitution, for our sovereignty, for all of those things, I have never seen this. And every time I go down there and I stand there, in the last 3 years, I go through some very mixed emotions. I get angry. I'm confused. I feel hopeless, because we're not unable to do anything about it. And I see these people coming in from all, by the way, very rarely do I see now people from Mexico and Central America. They're from Africa, Haiti, Asia, India, Venezuela, all these other countries. And you're like, what in the world? Mostly single adult military age males. This last time, I thought it was very unique. I saw a large, I mean, I don't know, maybe 100 or 200 group of just single adult women, no children, just women by themselves. And I call them women because they looked to me to be over the age of 18, but I'm sure some of them were minors in there, but I thought it was kind of strange that they were just women by themselves. The last time I had been to Del Rio, 90% of the women that I saw were pregnant. And so I think that's one of the big causes. Mm-hmm. You see these women coming across as well. But you have all these groups of people that are not being properly vetted, and we're allowing them into the country with very different agendas, let me tell you, and very different ideologies that even when I was working back then, and the migrant worker, oh, he wants to come and work and have a better job. And I don't see that. These people are not true asylum seekers. They're not refugees by any means. As a matter of fact, I specifically asked them, I told them, are you being persecuted? Where are you coming from? One of them was coming from Venezuela. And I said, are you being persecuted by your government? Oh, no, I'm not. I mean, flat out just told me I'm not being persecuted by anybody. I actually had a house and I was doing okay. And now I'm homeless. I don't have any food. And I'm here for the government of the U.S. to take care of me. And that is over and over happening over and over with the people coming.
Okay. I want to thank Happy Your Thoughts Now. How do folks find you online? Help you out with your campaign. You're running for Congress, Texas 23. That's the western portion, San Antonio, all the way to the border.
Yes, please visit me at victoravilaforcongress.com.
Health, prosperity, happiness, and victory in 2024, my friend. You be safe.
I appreciate you, Sergio. Thank you.
And thank you so much for tuning in to The Dana Show day to day. You keep it right here. And after the show, producer Steve, he does a great job and condenses all the audio. So look for the condensed version of the podcast and all the different platforms. It's the news of the day, great conversations, information that probably new to you. And I wish that all the national networks would concentrate on what truly affects your pocketbook, your life, our nation's future. But they're not, so we got to do that. And thank God for the other colleagues in talk radio who do the same. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana Lash from South Texas. This is The Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Let's start with a happy dude. I'm going to call him Happy Dude because despite the fact that he was involved near Tampa, Florida, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office caught this dude who ran from a crash site. He was involved in a one vehicle crash, his vehicle, and then bolted when authorities showed up. The Hillsborough County authorities showed up, bolted to a construction site, and they say that he found a dirt pit, and he lay down in that dirt pit. And because of security cameras in the area, that we could see, like in the dark, you could see this lighted figure because it's hit the warmth of his body. He's doing like in the dirt pit. He's doing like dirt angels. The sheriff's office are around, looking for him. He's just laying down doing dirt angels. Dirt angels. Happy dude doing dirt angels. Eventually, at some point, I guess he got frustrated. He got up, bolted. The sheriff's office caught up with him, and he's facing numerous charges. Let's see here. And oh, this is such a sad story. They put the woman's mugshot in the picture. I think the headline says it all. Florida woman threatening to kill her ex-boyfriend and his new girlfriend if they didn't have sex with her. Yeah, you heard it right. She threatened, have sex with me or I'm going to kill both of you. Anyway, very, very sad eyes, this poor woman. From South Texas, you're listening to The Dana Show.
We need more federal support to be able to manage this amount of inflow. It will crush city budgets around the country. As we know, we're looking at about $160 million of potential costs going into next year's budget. That's almost 10% of our entire city budget.
Yeah, that's the mayor in Denver, Colorado. And note the first words that he said, we need more federal support. He's not asking for more law enforcement. He's not asking to secure the borders. This is the Democrat Party perspective and all of their disciples across the nation at major U.S. cities that have, you know, done the sign of the cross and they've been signaling to the world, send us your tired, your weak, your poor, your huddled masses, whatever. They're the ones that are asking for the illegal immigrants. And now that they're there, they're crying and complaining that the city budgets are being broken. The piggy bank's being broken. They want more federal dollars to pay for the housing, to pay for the food, the medicine, everything else. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you want to say hi online, you got to do the X thing, the Twitter thing, at Sergio Talk. So the mayor in Denver asking for more federal help. Money. Wants another check. Not asking to secure the border. Not asking to stop this tsunami. Meantime, in Mexico, Mexico City, in the news, we got Team Biden down there pledging to work together with the Mexican officials, with AMLO, Team Biden and AMLO working together, working closer to slowly bring the numbers down of this illegal immigration that we have. Mexican government, U.S. government sending out a joint statement Thursday. More kabuki dancing, more wasting your time. Tony Blinken and Alex Mayorkas meeting with Mexican President AMLO. U.S., the delegation, Team Biden, in Mexico City, saying that they're going to move to strengthen an initiative with Venezuela, Cuba, Nicaragua, Central America, and Haiti. Let's see, Venezuela, quasi-communist, Cuba, communist, Nicaragua, always oscillating between communists and desperately trying to figure out how to do liberty. And, of course, Haiti, crime-riddled Haiti. It's a lost society. It is so sad to see. Well, by the way, whatever happened to the Clinton Foundation? Millions upon millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars over the years. All the money raised by the Clinton Foundation, you know, to rebuild Haiti post-earthquake, help out the folks in Haiti. Whatever happened to that? You know, with all the money that had been collected and spent on that charity effort, right? Surely things should be a lot better. Schools and police departments and roads fixed and phone lines and you name it, roads. All of that would have helped such a small country of Haiti, but it's run by criminal gangs. So Mexico, the U.S., saying they're going to try to strengthen some initiatives to, you know what, is to return these illegal immigrants from Venezuela. The illegal immigrants that are headed here from Venezuela, who have arrived here, and I had a chance through a friend of mine, Victor Castillo, who does a lot of great work on the radio. He gathered some audio for us a few days back. Some of the folks that were waiting just on the other side. See, we're broadcasting the Dana Show from deep south Texas, which is really, we're on the border. This is the RGV of Texas, and south of the border is Reynosa, Tamaulipas. That's a town I grew up in as a boy. Matamoros, which is south of Brownsville, or where SpaceX and Elon Musk are at. It's an entirely different world just south of the border. And some of these future, some of these migrants, and that's what they are because they arrived and they stationed just south of our border. They're working this app that the Biden administration put together, telling people you want to enter the country, use the app, put yourself on a waiting list, wait for your appointment at one of the international bridges, and then come in and stay. They don't say stay, but they're coming in to stay without emphasizing the stay, because they're inviting people to come here, sign up on the app, the air quotes, legal version, and then be allowed a chance to stand in line with millions and millions of others, many of them illegal immigrants who have achieved the same, a chance to be heard at an asylum court. The only thing is that with Venezuela, there's an agreement, this Biden administration with Venezuela, to return plane loads of these immigrants back to Venezuela. Try to catch the ones from Cuba, send them back. Central America, Nicaragua, try to spread some headlines that they got plane loads being sent back. And Haiti, crime-ridden, just anarchy, that is. I mean, just rename Haiti as anarchy. In Haiti, send them back as well. From the most hopeless in Haiti to the, and all these people, they're all economically disadvantaged. They're the poorest among the poor, especially Haiti. And then you got Central America and Nicaragua, no industry, except, you know, the bananas that they're selling here. Venezuela used to be the lead economy in Latin America. It is filthy rich with God-given resources. Minerals. It's more than just petroleum. It's the minerals for steel, for batteries, for industry. Venezuela is super rich. But unfortunately, Venezuela is an example of what could happen to America. As I've been trumpeting for the past 3 days, you continue to vote stupidly, America could go the way of Venezuela. Venezuela used to be a paradise, an economic paradise. A paradise of capitalism and free market activity and manufacturing. U.S. industries, European industries, set up factories there. All of this was seized because the communists, the quasi-communists, the neo-communists is the word, the modern communists, they managed to convince all the poor to rise up and tear down, bring down, in other words, eat the golden goose. Take down all the rich, take down industry, to own the government and put a strong man in power so that the state could take control of the assembly lines, the factories, the multinational firms that set up there. In other words, they set up a centralized control system on prices and production. What is that? Communism. They voted themselves into communism. The people from Venezuela who are running here are people who love liberty, who yearn for liberty. You're yearning for a chance to escape the tyranny that they live under in Venezuela. The price controls, the hyperinflation, the criminal gangs that are fleecing them, they're shaking them down for money, threatening to kill them. And they're among the first immigrants, the first folks across the border illegally, or they're trying, some of them are trying to do it like the Biden legal way through the app, come here and stay with everybody else. But these people who can preach to the American people and warn the American people that you continue to vote for socialists and neo-communists, Democrats, you continue to vote stupidly in that direction, you will become like Venezuela. These people could preach a good sermon to American voters. No, the Biden administration wants to send them back as quickly as possible. Same thing in Cuba. The government controls everything. The Castro family and all their friends control everything. Send them back. Don't let any of these Cubans mess up a good story, an effort by the Democrat Party to take over everything and centralize control over all Americans. You know the mindset that would force all industry to get the COVID shot? Remember that under Joe Biden? The courts told him no. And in the end, what did he do? He forced only the military, the only people that he could under his control, because he's the commander-in-chief, all military, you get the prick or you get out. Take the COVID vaccine, you get out. That's the mindset. He wanted all industry. He wanted all business. Wanted to force everybody to get the COVID vaccine. For the Democrats, for these new communists that we have, for the modern incarnation of the Democrat Party, all these people behind the scenes that are pulling the strings, it's control. They want control. Control will happen even with the technology that they're advocating for these days. Electric vehicles, for example. I can imagine a society in the not too distant future. If you vote stupidly, if too many of your neighbors vote stupidly, let me connect the dots for you. Vote Democrat in 2024. Do not bring home all these lawmakers that want to control your life. If you continue to vote for these individuals, send them back to Washington, D.C., they will create a society like Venezuela with high tech that will control everything. Smart meters for your home, the ones that control the temperature, you surrender control of that, they'll turn off the air conditioner at your home in the middle of the summer when there is a consumption spike. In order to control all that, you will no longer have control because you put in a smart meter. And they're moving as quickly. Electric vehicles, the same thing. You're not a citizen in good standing, connected to the internet, don't you think they can shut down your vehicle? They won't let you drive. They won't let you move. That's centralized. I know this may sound to you like crazy talk. It's happening. It's happening in China. The centralized decision makers in Venezuela, that's what they wish. They only like the technology to control people. And comes digital currency. All of these businesses that are no longer accepting credit cards. I'm sorry, no longer accepting cash. They only accept credit cards. Or you use your little app on your phone and put your phone up to a screen and pay that way. No more cash. A cashless society. They're pushing us toward a cashless society. It's all about control, people. You surrender the cash. You surrender your gas engine. You surrender your thermostat. You're giving somebody else control over your life. And we are quickly moving for the sake of convenience. That's just crazy talk about control. We got way too many people asleep at the switch. So back to the conversations in Mexico City, just another poke and trying to poke everybody's eyes, create a top of the hour little headline, Washington, Mexico City talking about this immigration crisis. It's an immigration mess that Biden created. And you know that because you listen to talk radio. And they're going to tackle the root causes of migration in those troubled countries. And all I know is it's sending all these people back. So unless Washington, D.C., with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and interested parties like, some of the lefties that always give to all these neo-communists, contribute like Apple, Microsoft, you name it, Pfizer, all these from pharmaceutical to electronic manufacturing. Let's ask for volunteers in industry willing to send like 5% of their manufacturing capacity to Nicaragua, being willing to send 5% of their manufacturing capacity to South America, Central America, to the Caribbean. Let's start there, where we see the majority of the illegal immigrants coming in, and then we could talk about Africa, some of the more stable places. That do they want to put money in those places? No, because there's no stability. So unless the U.S. government is talking with Mexico City about finding factories willing to set up shop and create what jobs in those areas of the world that are in dire need, that lack jobs, that lack prosperity, that lack a market. We're going to continue to see this mess. People continue to move to the U.S. as quickly as possible under the season of Biden, because we got less than 1 year left under Joe Biden to take advantage, full advantage of an open border and get in here while the getting is good. Oh, and you'll be happy to know, and I saw this other note, that there's been a revelation from Washington, folks in intelligence, you know, saying, you remember that Chinese spy balloon that flew across the nation? And now they're saying up in Washington that that Chinese spy balloon was using American servers, was using an American internet provider to communicate with Beijing. NBC had the write-up on this. So they said that a Washington intelligence assessment found that the balloon connected to a U.S.-based company and was sending and receiving communication from China. And check this out. This is a news copy. Mostly for navigation, which we've come to learn. Anytime they use the word mostly, put an asterisk next to it, highlighted in red. Because I'm hearing mostly for navigation. I'm thinking, yeah, like mostly peaceful protest during the BLM riots, right? Because I want to know, aside from navigation, what other data did Beijing send and, more importantly, received? And now that this is out, hey, Speaker Johnson, how about the committee sit down on this? Get some lawmakers to, I don't know, maybe subpoena some of the U.S.-based internet data, some of the records. And once it's on the internet, it's always, they say, it's always on the internet. You can find it. Looking for the internet data from this internet provider that was sending information back and forth to China. Pictures, video, what other information did China receive? Especially when that balloon that was being manipulated and navigated by Beijing this entire time across the nation was going over sensitive areas like military sites. And also, while you're doing the whole hearing thing, the committee hearing, can you bring in Joe Biden or somebody from the administration? Why did it take so long to shoot it down? Just an idea for 2024. I know you got bigger fish to fry and more investigations on Joe Biden. But anyway, we kind of need to get to the bottom of that one. Thank you so much for joining us on The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez reporting to you from the RGV of Texas, her Southern Command, The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Senator Lindsey Graham stepping up a campaign against legislation in New York State, where the legislature in New York, maybe Chick-fil-A is based near him. I thought it was in Georgia. Either way, lawmakers in New York want to force Chick-fil-A to open on Sunday. Where? At rest stops. Oh my, this, don't you have bigger things to do, Lindsey? Seriously, than investing your time in this? I think we got immigration problems. We got border problems. I know you've been very vocal on the whole funding for Ukraine. Yeah, so Lindsey Graham wants to fight New York and their legislature to try to open up Chick-fil-A on Sundays. Chick-fil-A, just shut it down. If you don't want to open on Sunday, and the state of New York is not going to provide, you know, like vending machines for cold sandwiches and drinks, just shut it down. Chick-fil-A doesn't need that. Just shut those places down at rest stops. Let's see. Wonka, the winner of the Thursday box office, looks like it's going to have another good weekend for folks that have time off and go to the movie theater on the weekend. A military space plane on a secret mission blasting off of Florida. The X-37B space plane lifted off yesterday. It was a SpaceX Falcon, sent it into space for 2 years in space, conducting experiments for the Pentagon. And the Detroit Pistons still suck, now have tied the all-time record for continuous losses in a season and in two seasons, or however many seasons. They've tied the record, which is 28. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with The Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because I think that most of the Republican candidates seem to feel that what worked for Donald Trump is going to work for them. They understood what Donald Trump was doing when he ran for president when he came down the escalator, when he began to denigrate the Mexicans and immigrants, and he expanded that to include what he called S-hole countries.
Yeah. Oh, that's Jim Clyburn, congressman from South Carolina. Steve, please tell me you've got yesterday's audio on the NAACP chief in the state of Illinois. Talk about tough talk against illegal immigrants, because, man, Donald Trump ain't got nothing on the NAACP chief from the state of Illinois criticizing illegal immigrants taking up resources and police having to respond and housing authority people having to respond and all that. So, ladies and gentlemen, Democrat NAACP chief from the state of Illinois, one-upping, a million-upping Donald Trump when it comes to rhetoric against immigrants, those poor immigrants. Go ahead, Steve.
But these immigrants have come over here. They've been raping people. They've been breaking into homes. They're like savages as well. They don't speak the language, and they look at us like we were crazy.
Oh, my goodness. Did you hear that, Jim? Did you hear that? Congressman Jim Clyburn. Republicans, the candidates for Congress, they feel that will work for Trump, going to work for them. Well, not even Donald Trump was that courageous to say savages and rapists. He did say bad hombres among the group coming over here. Yeah, we do have. They do have several bad hombres, bad men. That's the reality. I mean, just in the, there was a most recent report, just most recent quarter, I think they found like 30 people in the terror watch list caught by Border Patrol. And those are the ones that they caught. Overall, they've got almost 200 individuals over the past fiscal year, individuals that were on the terrorist watch list Border Patrol was able to catch. What about the gotaways, the getaways? They're in there. They arrest all the time. Man, I remember, it's been a while since, before the pandemic, one of the regular features on the evening show, The Drive Home, here at KURV, we do like a border security report, and we would take the press releases, just the press releases from Border Patrol and Customs Enforcement, all these people, the people that they arrested, rapists, convicted rapists who were eventually let go by the penitentiary, people wanted for rape charges and child molestation and all that, and they made the daily list of the press releases that were never focused on, never reported by the national media. And it's always, they would always post that. I tell you what, those people running for Congress trying to unseat Democrat incumbents like Jim Clyburn, who's up for re-election, all people in Congress, all individuals in the U.S. House are up for re-election, all of them. Anyone with a D next to their name, those individuals need to come home. They don't get it. They don't understand what the American people want, and most importantly, what our nation needs is to control migration, to control immigration, and to put in place and advocate for and enforce national fiscal and spending policies that will fight inflation, which means you got to decrease the size of the federal government. You got to decrease the spending. You got to stop wasting money. You need to audit all these expenditures. Less money in the market, less demand. Inflation will eventually go down. Oh, and also help out with the energy policy. That would help make fuel cheaper. Anyone who advocates for policies that fight inflation, the size of government, and secure the border, they will win. They just need the help of the National Party, and I would hope to marry their campaign with Donald Trump, who will be president again, in my opinion. I'm convinced of it. You need to ride his coattails and think, what? Two words, kids. America first. About 20 minutes left in the hour. Before I share my conversation on the political strategery or lack thereof right now by the National Republican Party, conservatives. One message. See, this is why they, on the national side, they have deep pockets. They know who these individuals are. They can buy the internet campaigns, the online campaigns, the YouTube campaigns, the radio campaigns, and in swing states, start advertising. Check this out. This is information the Democrats could grab and use against, brainwash, confuse voters. Homicides in the U.S. are dropping by record numbers. Analysis from a data Linux firm saying that preliminary data from 177 cities nationwide showing a 12% decrease in murders in 2023. Can you grab that headline and put next to it plenty of videos of riots and looting and videos of shoplifting and these criminal gangs just taking bags and things. They're too busy carjacking. They're too busy assaulting people. They're too busy with their little gangs stealing stuff right now to kill people. That's what's going on. See, you got to own the message. Here's my friend Nikkelee Ambrose. Nikkelee Ambrose, former National Young Republican chair, joining me. Donald Trump is ahead like by 50 points. There's nobody even close. There's this obsession in news coverage to see what's going on with Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley, and it's comical. I laugh every time I see Nikki Haley gaining ground is now past Ron DeSantis. It doesn't matter. They are so far, far behind Donald Trump. And I don't want to say this, but unless Jesus takes Donald Trump home, he's the nominee. It is what it is. Are you in that camp, Nick, or are you willing to wait until, I don't know, first, second, third primary vote early next year?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, he is in the latest Fox poll. My gosh, he's leading by 57 points. You're absolutely, you were spot on. The average of his lead in all of these polls combined is over 50 points. That's over crazy. His next closest rival, which is DeSantis, who is DeSantis, and DeSantis is now at like 12% in both the averages and in this recent Fox poll. So to me, kind of the question is why? You know, why has Trump even gone from polling in the 50s to the 60s, almost at 70 in December? You want to hear my thoughts on this?
Go ahead.
All righty. So when we think back to the summer, in all polls, you know, Trump's always led, but, you know, on the issues, immigration, who will do best? Trump. Economy, who will do best? Trump. Mm-hmm. Right? And you get it. I mean, he was a past president with great past performance on these issues. But when it would come to the final question in all these polls, it was electability. You know, who is the most electable? Or who can beat Joe Biden? And that would be the one category that Ron DeSantis would beat Trump in. But now, you know, it's people have had time to figure out what these, you know, partisan hack legal cases are in these deep blue venues like D.C. and New York City and, Atlanta, Georgia. And they've looked at them and said, OK, we look like a banana republic and our nation's about to be in World War III due to Joe Biden's policies and poor leadership. And they figured this all out. They figured out what it means. And then you have a national poll showing that Donald Trump can beat Joe Biden by 4 points, which is beyond the margin of error. Mm-hmm. So that pretty much takes care of the electability question, the question of can Donald Trump beat Joe Biden? So now I think those people who say, okay, I like Trump's policies, but I was just not sure if he could win or not, that poll allays those fears because they just want to win. And I think that's why you're seeing this additional kind of 10 to 15 percentage point surge over the holidays, a time when people normally aren't that engaged in politics.
Being less than 11 months away from the election, this is the time I argue that the Republican Party, always so brain dead when it comes to proper marketing and messaging.
Yeah.
Forever and a day, the National Republican Party has sucked at marketing, and they just don't know how. This is the time. On the marketing side for the Republicans, they're on two separate rail tracks. You got the Trump camp that is fighting, and I don't know what the national GOP is. I know their pockets are deep. I know they've got money. They can afford some of the cheap, very intrusive advertising right now into the black community, into the Latino community, workers. Just focus on the swing states before the Democrats start brainwashing these people. And
yes,
the Trump is the devil. Trump is the reason for all their problems. There are people that they're so malleable and easily influenced. It's time to start fighting right now in the key swing states to try to save the vote and start pushing in the right direction. I don't see any effort whatsoever. I would hope and pray that they do that at National GOP, but with this loser culture that Ronald McDaniel has right now, I don't expect it. I would hope it changes because they need to go on offense big time and online advertising in all swing states. I would hope that Donald Trump and his camp, whatever millions he has, they go online. They get right in there. It's real easy. It's inflation. It's the border. It's the lawlessness. Focus on that and start teaching people, doing the job that the media doesn't do. Nikkelee Ambrose, former National Young Republican Chair, joining me right now. Yes, we still need to do the song and dance when it comes to the primary votes. But I don't think of all these people, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Vivek, Not even Krispy Kreme, Chris Christie. None of these are potential vice presidential material for a Donald Trump ticket. I mean, who do you see might be a good VP to compliment Donald Trump?
I think the person he most wants is Kristi Noem. And I say that because, you know, he's always clearly had a lot of respect for her. She is such a common sense conservative, right? She just does such a beautiful job of making Republican policies so clear and common sense to just any thinking person. And I also think that because when he had his very first rally of this cycle in Wellington, Ohio, she was the one person prominently featured. So if he had his druthers, I think it would be her. However, he's also a businessman. He's, you know, Mr. Art of the Deal. If he feels he has to cut a deal with someone to make sure they win the general, you know, I could see him exploring those options.
How about Carson, Ben Carson,
so,
right?
We just had a state convention, and, you know, Ben Carson was our surprise guest who showed up to speak to us as a Trump surrogate. So Dr. Carson is a really loyal ally of President Trump, and, you know, he's a wonderful man with a beautiful story of just living the American dream.
Yep.
And right, isn't that kind of, doesn't it summarize with this, when we go to the grocery store and everything costs at least 20%
I want
more,
his story to be repeated by a factor of millions for inner city kids who, you know, who just live with mom, one-parent families, broken families, living in poverty. Education is the key. That was the path. His mama was a good mama and forced him to read.
Yes.
He became a brain surgeon. I want his story for our babies in the inner city, for blacks, Latinos, all kids, white kids in Appalachia. I want his story for our American kids. And I think if they seize that opportunity and take it to patriots, all these voters, Democrat, Republican, independent, whoever they are, I think that message will resonate if Dr. Carson were out there constantly fighting for Donald Trump.
You're absolutely right. You're spot on. Dr. Carson is a wonderful man who has lived the American dream. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And he's such a hard worker, too. You know, it's like you never have to worry, oh, will Ben Carson be there? No, the man does what he says he's going to do and does it beautifully. And it's just that work ethic and that intellect that got him so far.
And just
good character. I mean, he's just a good man.
He is. It's a great American story. And he is American, the potential of America, if people seize that opportunity. I just want to get your final thought real quick on.
Yeah.
In this poll, Republicans are split on the potential impeachment of Joe Biden with the obvious corruption, the millions of dollars, the enrichment of his entire family to the tune of millions of dollars over many years with no production line, no company, nothing except selling American influence. Really, only half are in favor of impeaching or moving forward to impeach Joe Biden?
So let's get back to your point about marketing. Yes, Republicans historically are terrible at marketing, and this is a good example of it. The House did not vote to impeach Joe Biden yet. They voted for an impeachment inquiry so they can get these darn documents that Joe Biden refuses to hand over. I mean, I understand that he wants to play games and doesn't want to hand over his financial records that implicate him, but he essentially is trying to, he was refusing to honor House committee subpoenas. He's trying to say they didn't have the legal weight. So the only other thing the House of Representatives could do, which they did entirely along party lines, 221 to 212 voted for an impeachment inquiry so they have the legal standing to force those documents. And let's just summarize where we are. We are at a point where Joe Biden's family has taken money from our country's enemies, Russia and China, and used millions of those dollars, obviously, to enrich all of their family members, while people such as Hunter Biden, as well as Joe Biden's daughter, can't figure out how to pay their taxes. We know in the Hunter Biden case, it's to the tune of $1.4 million, which, because the man has such poor character, he then went and claimed in court that he was too impoverished to pay for his child. So this is the character of the Bidens. And yes, I would like to the House Republicans, the full House of Representatives, to do a good job investigating this, since we know the Department of Justice won't, and since the media won't do their job. I'm glad someone's actually looking into the facts here.
Yeah, it's real easy for the Republican marketing department to earn their salary, take a 60-second commercial, put it out there, put Joe Biden and his lies and all these intelligence experts and their lies and Russian disinformation, all these claims back during the election, expose, put the audio of them lying first. No, there's Russian disinformation. Oh, there he goes again. And then place the facts after that, just in contrast for people to see every single day over and over again. That's what they're going to need to do to properly educate the American voter. Former National Young Republican Chair Nikkeli Ambrose. Happy New Year. Hoping for good things for you and your family, your business, for America in 2024. It all starts by not voting stupidly. Remember that. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash on The Dana Show.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Appreciate you tuning in to The Dana Show. And as I mentioned, this is my habit on weekends, especially weekends. You get busy around the house doing stuff. I'm cleaning medical equipment and other things like that. Listen to The Dana Show, the condensed version. Every weekday program, producer Steve will condense everything. Podcast version, all the platforms. Catch up with all the information, key interviews, all that. Learn stuff. Smart. As you're doing other stuff, you can just put those earplugs in here. Listen to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. I was looking at some of the bowl games that are coming up. Some already took place. I want to share some of the crazy names related to all this. So up next, the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. The Tony the Tiger. I love that. Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, El Paso. There's some more common names like Goodyear Tires and AutoZone. But I went looking for the other crazy names. Duke's Mayo Bowl, that one took place already. Which, by the way, Duke's Mayonnaise, I think that's the one's closest to the mayonnaise that they give for free over at Chick-fil-A. The Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. The Pop-Tart Bowl, that one took place already. Cheez-Its Bowl. Trans-Perfect Music. You know, I saw that the Alamo, unless I got this wrong, the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio, they didn't get a sponsor. They should have gotten, like, Buc-ee's, right? And the winner of them all, the Avocados from Mexico Cure Bowl. Happy New Year, my friends. Join us online. Say hi online, Sergio, at Sergio Talk on Twitter.